T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotlines. Our buddy Chip Towers joining us here from Dog Nation. You can check him out on Twitter, at ChipTowersDN.
Hey, Chip, you're not transferring, are you? Everybody else is, it seems like.
Yeah, might as well. It seems to be the thing to do these days. But, yeah, no plans right now. I'm in the portal waiting to see who wants it.
I may drink some port wine, but I don't know if I'm in the portal or anything, Chip, at this point. Hey, you know, we were just mentioning, Chip, about the Terry Godwin, about him winning the MVP of the East-West Shrine Game. Tell me your thoughts about what do you think kind of the legacy of Terry Godwin is. Came in with a lot of hype. Had a pretty good career at Georgia, but was it maybe everything that some people thought it could be?
Not
at Georgia?
Not as impactful, flamboyant.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys. I think a lot of people probably may have forgotten, if they weren't around then, that he was a five-star recruit and, you know, pretty big time. You know, had a chance to have a baseball career as well. The Atlanta Braves drafted him. You know, kind of a slow start to his career. I say a slow start to his career. I mean, he was pretty doggone good as a freshman and wins the MVP in the Gator Bowl and had that unbelievable catch in Notre Dame. So, I mean, that'll always be his legacy. I think Steve Penley and some other great artists have done renderings of that catch. So he'll always go down in Georgia history for that catch against Notre Dame, but that was kind of ended up being kind of the apex maybe of his career. And I felt like in some ways, now he was injured this last season, so we have to give him a break on that. But I thought he might have been underutilized a little bit, forgotten about, because let me tell you the one thing, his junior year, I can't remember what that quantification ESPN had, but it was, you know, I think it was quarterback, QB, it was QBR per target. The bottom line is if you threw it Terry Godwin's way, he almost always caught it, and he usually did something with it. And his catches per scores were really high. And, you know, and that came out in the East-West Shrine Game. I was really happy to see him do well in that game. I think he had 4 catches for 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, offensive MVP, and hopefully that helps him. He's a tough guy to figure out because he reminds me a little bit, this may not be fair to him, he reminds me a little bit of Hines Ward, and then he's not the biggest guy in the world, and he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he is tough, and he always catches the ball.
He's just a football player.
Hopefully somebody will recognize that, right?
All right, Chip, let me ask you about this. Clearly you can tell you've arrived as a head coach when it seems like every offseason – people come and raid your assistants. Mel Tucker, of course, going to Colorado. Jim Chaney gets his salary doubled to go to Tennessee. How do you think Kirby's going to be able to negotiate these waters?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the good thing about it is this is, again, something that he has a good bit of experience in, just having been up close and personal with Nick Saban every year. In fact, you know, here's the thing about Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart was that guy walking into the head coach's office all the time saying, "Hey, I got an offer. Hey, I got an offer." I mean, that happened for 6 years running at Alabama before he finally got the job he wanted. Now, that was Nick Saban's advice at the time. And I do think, despite as much as they try to act like, kind of a tough love, I think these two guys really, really respect each other, because Nick Saban clearly didn't want to lose him back then and told him, hold out for the right job. And I think that, you know, that served Kirby really, really well, obviously, now that he's the head coaches of his alma mater and he has him in national championship contention. This is part of the air you're breathing. Same thing with the transfers, same thing with disgruntled five stars. I mean, you can't, the thing about it, guys, if everybody had stayed, and obviously they didn't, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this, but I think Georgia would have had 30 five stars on their roster next season.
Wow.
30 guys who got five-star stats. That's more than anybody. That's more than Alabama, more than Oklahoma, more than anybody in the country. Now, you lost a few of those. Justin Fields, some other guys didn't come. I might have been equating in there if they'd assigned this guy or that guy. So, but it's in the range of 25 to 30, right? Five-star guys. We can only play 11, you know, and you can only play 22 on offense and defense. So not everybody's going to be happy. And so people are transferring out now, particularly quarterbacks, but, you know, a lot of positions. Luke Ford was a huge signee for Georgia last year, five-star number one player in the state of Illinois, and you pluck him and get him to Georgia. Now, that's just one of those situations that you've had for generations in college football. The guy was homesick. You know, he wanted to go back home. He had a sick grandfather. I get that. But, you know, that's part of the attrition that you're dealing with when you're recruiting at that level. And, you know, I think this is be an annual thing that we're having to follow. Who's in the transfer portal? What coaches are going where?
Chip Towers joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline from dognation.com as talk a little UGA football with him. Georgia brings in Charlton Warren, defensive backs coach, was at Florida last year. What do we know about him, Chip?
Well, you know, I guess the two biggest things is he's very respected in the business and he recruits the Atlanta area. So, I mean, I would think on those two fronts, it's a home run. It's been so interesting to watch this thing because you remember he came out when the Corey Raymond came to interview, and then, you know, right on the heels of Corey Raymond, the LSU. The godfather of DBU was coming to interview at Georgia. Right on the heels of that, you hear about Charlton Warren. And then, you know, that report got debunked really quick. And so it looks like it was a semantics issue. So, you know, inside of Georgia, they were vehemently denying that he had ever interviewed. Turns out there was some contact at some point, you know, certainly between last weekend and this one. And I think it's a home run hit, not the least of which, and I can't remember the kid's name, Elam, I think it might be, a DB recruit who had just been down to Florida to visit the weekend before, was at Georgia on his official visit when Georgia announces that they'd hired Charlton. So that's a pretty big hit, I think. Now, what's going to be interesting to see is how it plays out from here. A lot of people have asked me, you know, what's the deal with the defensive coordinator? Why haven't they hired one? Why haven't they announced one? And I think it's just because, you know, there were so many dominoes that needed to fall. You know, you were also talking to the defensive backs coach of the Oakland Raiders as well, Derek Ansley. So you're having to hold the defensive coordinator's title or part of the defensive coordinator's title in your pocket to see where that had to go. Now, you know, Kirby hasn't said anything about Charlton Warren needing a defensive coordinator title, but there's, you know, that may happen when he announces what his entire staff is going to look like, which will probably come after National Signing Day. But that's a lot of babble to say. I think it's a really good hire, and I think it's going to help Georgia.
Should Elijah Holyfield, we can't speak for him, but do you think it would have been better for Elijah Holyfield maybe stick around for one more year? I don't see him getting chosen maybe fifth, sixth round, or am I wrong?
Well, yeah, here's the thing with Elijah. I don't think it was about the draft for him. I don't think he's really worried about the draft. I think he's worried about, you know, his NFL shot. This is a kid now. Two things about Elijah. He has tremendous confidence. Number one, and he's a very intelligent kid. You know, a lot of people might not know that about him.
Yeah, but, went to Woodward. You got to build a fog of mirror to get through Woodward.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know, and he's a really smart kid, and I know he's thought this through. And you know, all these running backs nowadays, you're looking at such a limited shelf life. I think he looked at the depth chart next year. He wasn't necessarily going to be the exclusive back or anything like that. There weren't going to be any national awards at hand. I think he's coming out pretty clean and strong and non-injured, right? I mean, that's pretty amazing for any back, you know, to get out of the SEC without a broken arm, without a broken leg, without a torn ACL. He managed to do that, and he's very close to his degree. I think he figures he can come back and get that. And, you know, hey, let me move out of the way and let you know, Zamir White and DeAndre Swift and hey, Brian Herrien, the forgotten man, you know, let me let these guys get their shot in college, and I'm going to move on and try to get my shot in the pro. So I think he's really thinking about catching on as a free agent. I mean, certainly he wants to get drafted, and that's his goal, and maybe we're all wrong, and he'll go higher than we suspect, but I don't think that's the point with him. I think his point is he thinks he's good enough to make a roster, and he's willing to prove it.
So on Twitter at Chip Towers DN, he's covering all things UGA for DogNation.com. Chip, as always, appreciate it, buddy, man. Thanks for jumping on with us on MLK Day.
Hey, fun hanging out, man. Talk to you next time.
You got it. Thanks, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.